Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley.
Hey, we're here.
They're all very excited, aren't they? Yeah. Okay, here's your first question. I've just found out that our neighbour has lodged a complaint against us to the council. We're building an extension onto the side of the house at the back and put in for planning permission a couple of months ago. On the same day, we received two letters, one saying that the work was called into question, the other confirming that our complaint had been lodged. I quickly realised that there had been an admin error and both letters had been sent to us, but the name on the other letter was for our next door neighbour, and that they are the ones trying to stop the build. They are being so petty that they have disputed one lousy metre, saying it overshadows their garden. It doesn't. The cost that we are going to have to incur because of this could be quite large. The problem is, they are nice as pie to our faces and keep asking us how the plans are coming along, as if they know nothing. I tested the waters yesterday and said that someone lodged a complaint, to which they actually answered, "Oh no, that's so mean. It's so two-faced. I would love to say something that I know it was them who complained, but maybe I should try and appeal to them to withdraw. I have to live next door to these people for the next 30 years. What would you do in my place?" This is a common problem. I think a lot of people. This is a common problem.
And what I'm going to say, which possibly will differ to what my esteemed colleague might say, but I don't think our listener who wrote in is going to like it. But here goes. The first rule of doing any work to your house when you live in a neighbourhood with neighbours close to you on either side is, before you do anything, when you've got your plans of what you would like to do drawn up, before you put in for your permission, is you go and talk to your neighbours. You know, to not do so is just plain stupid, as far as I'm concerned. And even if you're doing work that's not going to impinge directly, referring to the 1 metre wall, which we'll come back to in a moment, but just the fact that you're doing work in your house is going to impinge on your neighbours on either side, because there'll be workmen, there'll be things being delivered, there'll be noise, there'll be drilling, there'll be dust, there'll be dirt. So the intelligent thing is, you talk to your neighbours before you embark on the project and you put up the planning permission sign in your front garden, which presumably they had to do, which is how the neighbours knew what they were doing. And when they investigated, they're not happy. So in one sense, you've got yourself to blame here. You should have seen
Don't know that. This is Ireland.
No, but
this is Irish people. Do you have a problem if we build an extension? Of course not.
Don't go
ring the council as soon as they're out the door.
But they didn't do that. She didn't talk to them in the first place. And I think she should have. The second thing is that I think what she needs to do now is to get her ass in there and to talk to these people and go into their house. She doesn't know whether the 1 metre that the wall, the position of the wall, if whether it will overshadow them or not, until she actually goes into their garden and sees what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But they have a right to dispute the boundary. And if they're not happy, they have a right to say, "We're not happy."
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be going to cost her any money. I don't know where she's saying it's going to cost her potentially a lot of money. It won't cost her a lot of money. I mean, the builder can move back the wall. But I don't think, I presume they haven't started building yet. If they've started building, it will. If they have to take something down and put it back up, it will. But I'm assuming
they say they're building an extension on the side.
I don't know whether they've started or not yet, because obviously the planning permission hasn't been confirmed because there's a complaint about it. So I'm thinking they haven't started yet. So what I would say to you is, get your the one thing you say in their letter that's absolutely right is that potentially you've got to live next door to these people for the next 30 years. We'd all like to be able to do whatever we liked with our houses, you know, to our own delight, and not think about how people on the other side of us are going to react. And sometimes people's concerns may seem petty to you, but the bottom line is, you will have to live next door to them for 30 years. So I think it's not too late now. Go in and have a proper chat with your woman, but be fully aware of the fact that it's probably going to mean that you have to compromise. And that's the way these things work. And you should have done it before now.
It's that thing. It's the thing about the council making that kind of administrative error. It's just gas.
But surely, I think if you go down to the council, you can find who's complaint. I think if you have a complaint, you can actually go down and see the complaint.
I'm not sure.
But I mean, if they're complaining about the wall, it's obvious where the complaint has come. Do you know what I mean?
That was a sideline. Yeah. I mean, I think it is the case, though, as Sean was saying, that a lot of the time people are so adverse to having any kind of confrontation whatsoever that they don't want to say face to face what they can say to a third party or on an email complaint form or whatever. I agree with you that
Here we go.
It's really important that it's really important that when you're building your house. I've just done something really weird.
You just disappeared.
You did, yeah.
It was disappeared.
Where's Declan gone? Declan.
What is going on? Sorry, if this is a TV show, it would be amazing. Yeah.
Stop fiddling with your chair and answer the question.
Yeah. I was kind of bouncing in the chair, kind of getting excited about planning permission. Look, being overlooked is a big thing. If somebody is building a house next door to you and they do, whether they build it out a metre more or up a metre is a lot.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot. And if I had suddenly had a metre thing overshadowing my garden that wasn't there before, it would annoy me, you know. And sometimes those things can be, they can be petty because they're there and you're, and they annoy you. And it's not life-changing, but it's annoying you, and those things can build and build. I don't know what the relationship these people have with their neighbours are already. If they're really friendly, kind of borrow a bowl of sugar kind of neighbours, and you know their kids play together kind of thing, then they don't want it to escalate. But if it's just a kind of, you want this and I want this, but the council is saying we can have this, I'd be a bit, whatever. This is, you know, the council have mediated and they're saying it's fine for me to build my thing. So,
but the council haven't mediated.
No, they haven't decided yet.
Yeah, no, but if they lodge a complaint, that holds up.
That holds up everything. Yeah. And my point is, she should have short circuited this by having this conversation before she put it for planning permission. Yeah. You get your architect to draw up the plans, and then you talk to the neighbours, and then you put it in for planning permission, and it should go through. But when you build an extension onto your house, you're going to end up presumably with an extra room or a sunroom or whatever it is that you're putting on the back, which is lovely bubbly. But the people next door, all they get for it is a big bit of wall that they hadn't had before. And so people obviously get a bit antsy about that. It's not going to look very attractive. And if it's also going to overshadow them, you do have to take that into
people
consideration.
People get really weird about, oh, you know, you're going to take the light away from my garden or whatever. And it's like, I don't think anybody has the right
you
to
don't have the
light,
right to light, light in your garden. Right.
So please stop using that phrase. presumably they still have in their possession the letter from the council saying, oh, your complaint's been lodged.
Yeah.
Do they go back into the neighbours and go, we know what you've done? Or do they go into the neighbours and say, listen, you know, we want to apologise because we didn't discuss with you the plans.
That's what she should do.
And we want to discuss this little bit. And we wanted to, you know, would it be possible to go into your garden with you and see will it overshadow you? Because we certainly wouldn't want that to happen.
That's exactly what she had. That's exactly what they have to do.
What do you do if you then have a genuine, heartfelt difference of opinion where
you compromise.
Bernie and
you're going to have to compromise in the light of keeping, and I don't agree with you when you said if your kids don't play together you don't borrow a bowl of sugar, then it doesn't really matter.
No, of course it does matter. I think but if you can live with a certain amount of, like, you know, they're raging at me because I have a wall.
Yeah, but then they could, you know, there's so many little niggly ways that neighbours can make trouble for people, you know, with noise and with parking and with all kinds of stuff like that.
And they already
know
they're kind of snaky,
silly
so
buggers.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, it's even just to make it look like you're keeping your side of the street clean.
Yeah, yeah. And very often all neighbours want to. You see, part of the problem here is that the neighbours feel they didn't even have the guts or courage or manners to come in and talk to us about this first. That's probably annoyed them.
Well, maybe what they should do is they bring the letter in and go, look, this has obviously not been managed very well.
Yes.
You've done this, we did that.
Let's sort it out.
Swipe it clean and start it out.
Yeah, for the person who wrote in, actually, somebody has texted in to say, our yet to move in neighbours are the most obnoxious people, and I have not even met them yet. You would swear they were rebuilding the Taj Mahal. The last 9 months have been banging, drilling, building, rebuilding. I only wish I'd complained when they put the notice up. So even the building
process, you know, it does annoy people, but you haven't a leg to stand on with that. But it is annoying if your neighbours did do a big project, it is going to impinge on you.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says the right to ancient light exists as a legal entitlement.
Ancient light,
yeah, not new
light coming from another planet, or something.
Well, it has to be at least 20 stars.
Is it the light? It's like the light from the sun that hasn't yet reached
here. That's new light. That's okay.
Mark says distant sun.
When does old light run out?
When you can't put money in the meter.
Rights to light do exist, important in dense cities like New York, says the texter. Well, I suppose that's the point. Yeah. Mark says if they need to amend the planning drawings or answer a request for further information from the council, they're going to cost you more professional fees from your architect and consultants, depending on the scale of the changes needed. So it is, you know, going to cost them something. Right, I found out my husband has been living a secret life for months and I'm really torn up about it. Every Sunday morning, he lets me have a lie-in and takes our three-year-old out for a couple of hours. He would always say they were going to the park or the playground, but a couple of days ago, when I was driving past the local church, my son pointed and said, "That's where me and Daddy go." I was shocked. They hadn't been going to the playground at all. They'd been going to Mass. I was furious. First, he lied to me, and second, he's been doing this behind my back. I'm an atheist, and I'm vehemently against organized religion. My husband isn't particularly religious, but I know his family are. We had agreed that we would allow our son to make up his own mind about religion when he was old enough, and now he's gone completely against this. I feel like he's brainwashing our child to fulfill some archaic agenda. I haven't confronted him yet, as I don't want to turn it into a blazing row, but I want him to stop bringing him. Any advice?
Wow, I mean, this
is, ooh, that's interesting.
It's quite a complicated one because it's happening on different levels. There's the first level is the issue about kind of spousal trust. It's about you know, is your husband, boyfriend, wife, lover doing what they tell you that they're doing at that particular time? The next level of that problem is the issue of kind of parental control. It's that, you know, are you having an adequate input into the way that your child has been raised, or is that being communicated between two parties, the parents, properly? And then finally, there's this kind of weird theological point about whether or not a parent has the right to, I'm going to go with the word indoctrinate a child into a religion without the permission of the other parent. So that, I mean, it's a lot going on there. So my issue would be, why is he lying to her in the first place? Like, what is it that, because he,
well, he knows what her reaction's going to be.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, because when I think about the way that kids and, well, let's just talk about people and religion, particularly specifically when it comes to the way parents are with religion for with their children. They're either on one end of the spectrum, which is I'm vehemently opposed to it, as the language this lady used, and the other end is that they're totally into religion and they it's a genuine, regular, real thing for them. But in this country, we have this kind of mass wade in the middle where there are people who are not really into it, more out of apathy than ideology, and then you have people who get into it because it'll just make life easier. It won't offend me, mammy. I'll get him into the good school. Yeah. And I won't, you know, isolate him in the class while all the other kids are making their Holy Communion and all this kind of nonsense. And then finally, there's a kind of weirdly, the theological kind of, they call it Pascal's wager, where you kind of go, you're better to be in than out in case there is a God and he gets you in the end. So, you know, whatever. But on that spectrum, it's harder to accommodate the people that are on the ends, because the people in the middle are so wishy-washy and they don't really know what they're doing. So it's easy to kind of, actually, we won't do this and we will. But if you're staunchly religious, or you're vehemently, I like that.
You've used that twice now. It's very good, yeah.
Is it vehemently or vehemently?
I think you're right, vehemently.
Yeah, yeah, I like vehemently. Yeah.
It's very good, Declan.
But if you're vehemently, like, you know, atheist, you know, those two things are going to be in conflict, just on a philosophical level. But when it comes to your child is too young to be able to absorb the concepts anyway. So you have to find a way around your kind of clashing ideologies. I think it's a bit weird to refuse to allow your child to learn about Catholicism in this case, especially if his grandparents are kind of involved with that. It's a bit kind of, just from a cultural point of view, I'm not saying that he needs to become
an altar boy,
you know. Or an altar girl, whatever they do, whatever you're allowed
to
do.
He's a boy,
But I do also think that if that's the approach that the dad is taking with Catholicism, I think her way around it would be to introduce the child to a whole swathe of other religions. Take him down the mosque, take him down wherever. And that'll be the way that, you know, from a skeptical point of view.
She's an atheist. She's an atheist.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. But in order to be a proper atheist, you should understand. You can't just
everything.
Be, I'm an atheist because I don't care. Yeah. You're an atheist because you don't believe. And the only way you can be a proper skeptic is if you actually know about these things, not...
Yeah, you've less than a minute, Barbara.
I agree with Declan.
Wow.
I wonder, do the grandparents go to this mass and that's what it's about?
Yeah, that he's bringing it to church.
I mean, I kind of understand.
So the mother doesn't go, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand. I mean, I resigned from the Catholic Church a while ago, but it always bothered me when my children were small that I gave them nothing in its place, no spiritual practice in its place. Mm. But I think the big problem here is these two aren't communicating. Do you know what I mean? And that to me is the big issue, that he felt he couldn't tell her what he was doing. But I'd be very careful about not damaging the relationship between the three-year-old and the father. Do you know what I mean? If she goes all guns blazing, this is, you know, the three-year-old's too young to really understand what's
absolutely
going on. But he's probably really enjoying the one-to-one thing with his dad.
Well, maybe she might need to ask herself, why did he not tell me?
Yeah.
Am I a bit OTT?
That's the bit, yeah.
Exactly.
A bit militant in my ideas. Somebody's texting in to say, yeah, you should have taken the child to the pub instead.
Pretty much. Is there the only options we have in this country? Yeah.
That's the other church. Declan and Barbara, thank you both very much. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.